Taylor Decker's on my all 22 fantasy team.
Stop. They don't care.
So the strategic component to this game is through the roof.
Your predictions, right? Your forecasting in fantasy football into how good is this player?
This is going to, it's going to change the industry.
Yeah. I moved to the old town where it goes down. Look at me now. I wrote my goals down. I hold it down. Made myself proud. Say, look at me now.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into the All 22 NFL podcast, the official podcast of the All 22 fantasy football platform. It's the only fantasy football game with full 53-man rosters, including offensive linemen, where you get to choose personnel packages and have access to PFF grading and advanced stats to make decisions each week. To learn more, go to all-22.com and go download the app. Ray, big week. How are we feeling?
I'm feeling great. I feel like a lot of the NFL is not feeling great. There's a lot of injuries, and they're starting to pile up on key players. And it feels worse than other years, but maybe that's just me, you know. But it feels worse, even though we haven't had like a third of the NFL starting quarterbacks go down like we did last year. It still feels like quite a lot.
Yeah, if you are new to All 22, this is the first time that you're dealing with a 53-man roster. So, you know, maybe before you had three or four guys on IR on your traditional fantasy team, there's a chance at this point in the season you might have eight. And, you know, there are times where it might be even bigger than that. So, yeah, definitely a different animal just in all. But, yeah, it has been an interesting kind of ride for some teams. I have Tua and Jordan Love on my team, so it's been kind of weird trying to figure out who to start in that league. But nobody cares about my fantasy team. Let's jump into the week four top performers. And at the top of the quarterback list is Derek Carr, 88.7. The top performer for the week is none other than the guy I've been dumping on week after week, Deshaun Watson, 85.3. I'm still giving the promising performance to Jaden Daniels with the 74.5 grade this week. And then the most concerning to me is Will Levis, 29.4 on very few snaps, but he gets injured. It's been a really rocky road for him. How are you feeling about Will Levis?
I've never been in on Will Levis. So yeah, I'm out. If I was ever not out, I am totally out. When the offense moves the ball, it's not that Mason Rudolph did anything special, but when the offense moves the ball and takes care of the ball, better when Mason Rudolph is in the game than you. That it's it's tough. I mean, you want him to put it all together. He's got the frame, the physique, the arm strength, the zip, but there's just an innate ability for quarterbacks, for good quarterbacks anyway, to just play within timing. And he just doesn't have that natural timing back as a passer in the pocket. And when you don't have that, then quality offense over the course of a 60-minute game has to be manufactured over and over and over again. And you can't rely on broken plays and scrambling and making things happen out of the pocket nonstop. It just doesn't work in the NFL. Defenders are too good. And yeah, it was the best thing that happened for the Tennessee Titans was Mason Rudolph entering the game. They do not win without that happening. So I've never really been in on Levis because I've never seen that natural feel and just innate timing in his game. And it hasn't gotten better. And while he's not been in the league for a terribly long time, it's one of those things I feel you either have it or you don't. And I don't think he does. So I doubt he was anyone's QB1 anyway, but if that was your kind of upside QB2 type of play, I don't think it's going to work out for you.
I've been really impressed with the Titans coaching staff as well. This new coaching staff who we kind of thought was going to be a little bit scrappy, and that's exactly what they've turned out to be. They've been in every game that they've played, and you're right, they got a win, right? And they did it with Mason Rudolph. So I'm excited to see if they end up not being, you know, a top team and making the playoffs. Will they be a team that drafts a quarterback? If so, I would be excited to see what that new quarterback looks like in this system because, again, they are a scrappy team. They're kind of pulling it together a little bit. I like it. The one guy I wanted to talk about just really quickly was Caleb Williams, right? Jaden Daniels was my promising player, but Caleb Williams showed me a few flashes this week of that potential that we always saw and that we continue to see and really just hold our hats to when we're seeing the Bears losing these games. Is Caleb Williams is trying to play within structure, but he still has that glimmer of special. And every once in a while it comes out. He made a really nice touchdown throw in this game that showed me that glimmer of special. Reason I wanted to kind of talk about that is just this, again, this Bears organization has been really weird. And when we talked about what we would have done, you know, pre-draft, when we were talking about the prospects in this draft, and when we came to the Bears, we kind of went back and forth and we were like, would it have been Rome or would it have been an offensive tackle? And to me, it definitely would have been a tackle considering they already had DJ Moore. They got Keelan Allen and then they went and got Rome. And you're never going to do something wrong drafting a top receiver. But I think what Caleb Williams is experiencing most is just the downfalls of this offensive line. And I think for fantasy owners in all 22, you're not going to get the best Caleb until that offensive line improves its play. And it's possible, right? They have Braxton Jones, first round pick Darnell Wright. They have some intriguing guys on the interior. It's just not coming together yet. So just be mindful of that when you're watching Caleb.
Yeah, it was a popular draft strategy that we noticed where if you were picking 9th or 10th and the top 7 or so quarterbacks were gone, you would normally go with a Myles Garrett, a Micah Parsons, a Penei Sewell in round 1, and then kind of waiting on that quarterback for several rounds. And one of the more popular picks at quarterback for teams that did that was Caleb Williams, which is great. I ascribe to that strategy and I used it a couple times. I have a few shares of Caleb Williams as a result of that. That wasn't necessarily a signal for year one contention. I'm talking startup drafts, obviously. So yeah, I think you just ride the wave. Don't look at what's going on with Jaden Daniels and get antsy or nervous or think that something's wrong, because it's not, right? I think you mentioned the offensive line. I think in particular too, the offensive play calling in Chicago could be better off. But again, run your own race, and Caleb's going to run his own race and he'll be fine. But this year, it's not necessarily a year one move. So you, as long as you see progression and you see flashes, and this was his highest graded game to date in week 4, that's all you can ask for. And that's all you want to see, really, realistically anyway. So yeah, I'm fine with Caleb. I was encouraged and I'm not worried. I'm not panicking at all.
All right, let's move to running back. The season leader right now is Kenneth Walker, who came back from injury, 90.2 grade for the season for him. The top performer of the week is Tyler Algier with an 84.8. We talked about last week when David Montgomery had that top performance is how these guys with limited roles who are being spelled by other backs sometimes have the best games, right? Because the teams are doing the most to put these players in positions to be successful, getting the most out of them. We're seeing that with Algier. Promising performance from Brian Robinson Jr. We haven't spoken about him much, but an 82.8. He's just been really solid and consistent. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. But really quickly, the most concerning, again, is Jonathan Taylor for me. I think he got injured in this game. Ankle sprain, I believe. 51.5 grade. He might be missing some time.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, as exciting as it was, if that's the proper adjective, to watch Joe Flacco go ahead and rally the troops in Indianapolis, you do not want to see Jonathan Taylor have another subpar game, get nicked up. We didn't talk about concerning with Anthony Richardson. I am another one that I was never truly in on, but I am absolutely pulling the fire alarm there as well. I don't think it's going to work out. He really needs to change the way he plays the game, and it might already be too late. So that's that. Jonathan Taylor, yeah. I the saving grace for Jonathan Taylor is it's easier to find a running back that you need week in and week out than other positions, and therefore you can afford to wait either for him to get healthy or for him to get better. Maybe the offense as a whole opens up more under a veteran like Flacco now, and they're functioning better as opposed to sort of the boom or bust with Anthony Richardson hitting, you know, a deep pass, getting hit twice, but then being inconsistent for the other, you know, 35 attempts in the game. So perhaps you can now afford to just wait on Jonathan Taylor and see if that improves late in the year. But I think you have to, yeah, go ahead and find yourself another back. There's guys out there, whether it's a David Montgomery. I mean, there's tons. Tony Pollard was probably already being held by someone else, but Tony Pollard had a great game last night as well. So there's options out there. I mean, Jerome Ford, I'm not necessarily worried about the Nick Chubb return that's coming in a few weeks probably. Tank Bigsby is another name where, again, these aren't game-breaking guys, but if you were relying on Jonathan Taylor at running back and now you can't, either because he's simply not performing well or is going to miss some time, then go ahead and, you know, plug one of these other names in there. They can still get the job done.
There's a chance in some league Braylon Allen is still available. I've seen it happen before. Even this week, he's available in league. So there are guys available that you could go get at running back. You made the comment about Anthony Richardson and how you are now officially out on him. I think that's just a great example of when the coach is the right coach, but you don't have that guy to let the young guy sit and learn for a few years. If they had done that with Anthony Richardson, I have no doubt that he could have been an NFL quarterback. But I agree with you at this point in time, like, the injuries are just piling up and he can't stay healthy and on the field. That's the worst case scenario for a young guy, right? It's just not even being able to stay on the field. So I might be out on Anthony Richardson as well at this point, which I hate saying, because he's a kid I really was rooting for. Let's go to receiver, where season leader is now Nico Collins with a 91.2. Ray is killing himself over Nico Collins. Top performer is Josh Downs with a 90.5. Most promising is Brian Thomas Jr. with an 81. Most concerning to me, yet again, is Amari Cooper with a 66.5. I'm going to keep, you know, rubbing salt in that wound. But Nico Collins, 91.2, Ray, you saw it with him early on.
I did. And then in some leagues, just it took way too long to put it together. And so I lost some shares of him and then he blew up. But yeah, good for Nico Collins. Great quarterback, great offensive play caller, just great situation all around there. I mean, it's just he's got it. He's the prototype. He performs week in and week out. This isn't a situation where, because of the amount of weapons they have in Houston, that they, you know, he fades and he kind of disappears for 2 weeks before having another big game, like some people were concerned about when they add Stephon Diggs, a healthy Tank Dell. They have Dalton Schultz. They have, you know, when healthy, Joe Mixon in the running game. So many weapons to choose from, but Nico Collins has solidified himself as the top dog there. Amari Cooper, I am still not freaking out about, because A, he might be on the Chiefs in a couple of weeks. Who knows? That would be fantastic. And second, he had an 80-yard touchdown pass called back, or a touchdown catch called back, to a ridiculously ticky-tack holding call that would have changed that entire game. So yeah, it's there. I think we know what we can get out of Amari Cooper when things are clicking. Things are obviously not clicking. And then even when they do click, they get called back. So I still think it's just a matter of time. I feel like this happened maybe last year too, or the year before, where he kind of starts slow. He's up and down. And then towards the end of the year, he goes on fire. And one of the last 3 weeks of the season, he'll have a game where he catches, you know, for at least 125 yards, maybe even 200 yards like last year. So you're not going to get me to panic about Amari Cooper, because the worse it gets in the short term, the more likely it is that he's on the Kansas City Chiefs at the end of the year. And then his playoff prospects are through the roof in all 22. So yeah, I see Amari Cooper as a complete win-win situation, no matter what you say to me.
Wow. I'm just worried at this point. It's those 200 yard games are still there, but they're going to come every 8 weeks, right? And you're going to have to wait. And you never know if you could start a player like that, right? I think he might be getting to that point. It's kind of where DeAndre Hopkins is as well, right? It's like last year and the year before, Hopkins is, it's every 6-7 games where you get that one game that keeps you holding on. And Ray, I hope you keep holding on to those Cooper shares. Let's go to tight end. The season leader is still Isaiah Likely with an 85.9 on the season. Top performer of the week, though, Sam Laporta makes his bounce back, 82.4. He had a few really promising plays in that game. But the most promising, a guy that I've been seeing his name pop up a lot, and I don't know much about him, is Eric All on the Bengals, 73.4. He's been playing extremely well. Most concerning to me, Noah Fant, 58.5. It's been a really down year for him. Any of those guys you want to talk about?
We highlighted Eric All on maybe Twitter or X. Yeah. Sometimes if you pay close attention, I'm talking to you, the viewer or the listener, you can kind of tell who fired off the tweet, right? Spelling mistakes, Chris, trying to defend Jordan Love, interceptions, Chris. So just a couple of quick hints there, but yeah, Eric All. So he was a promising player in college who suffered a ton of injuries, transferred out of Michigan, just could never really stay healthy. But I guess he's kind of put it all together now in the pros, is managing at least so far to stay on the field as a, you know, fourth round pick for Cincinnati. That tight end room has been wide open for a while now. And he's, I mean, his run blocking in general, just coming across the formation and springing some big runs, was huge. And it wasn't just once or twice. He was sticking his nose in there the entire game. And it's not a situation where he's just going against the Carolina Panthers. I mean, it was his, like, just his actual play and physicality that translates regardless of who's on the other side of the ball, the way he was playing. So the thing with Eric All is he's always been talented, prototype size, 6'5", 250, kind of deceptive. He kind of doesn't look that big, but he is, and he brings some pop on contact and he is athletic. But the key with him is just going to be, can he stay healthy consistently? And of course, he is a tight end and he's young. So they always have ups and downs for the most part, unless they're a top dog like Sam Laporta. So you're always going to deal with that if you're relying on someone like Eric All. But this is a good player that you should have on your rosters. And yeah, just cross your fingers for good health, because he's a talented player.
Awesome. Let's go to tackle, where the season leader is now Jordan Mailata on the Eagles with an 87.7. The top performer of the week is all 22 favorite Taylor Decker with a 91.8. Some weird stuff going on with him in that game. Promising performance is Zach Tom with an 80.2. And the most concerning to me is Broderick Jones with a 59.3. And I'm just going to highlight the Broderick Jones grade, because, you know, he was a prospect that I just really didn't see it last year when we were reviewing them. You know, I saw him more as a borderline first round pick. He ended up going like top 15. And I think the Steelers jumped the Jets to get him. He is this new model of, let's just get the biggest, strongest, most athletic guy, and we'll train him to become the dude in the NFL, right? And with Broderick Jones, it just hasn't come together. At this point, I'm legitimately concerned, and I'm even more legitimately concerned with Fa'utanu out and Dan Moore Jr. putting up an 85.5 grade at the other tackle's position, right? So this offensive line has gotten better. We've been seeing performances from guys like Dan Moore, Zach Frazier, just decent play all around on the offensive line. Yet we're still, James Daniels as well, I think, is like top three at, or he's number one at guard, right? So why is it not coming together for Broderick Jones? What is missing for him? Why is he not putting it together?
I mean, that's an NFL plus question I have to look at and answer, but it's almost like this is going way too far. This is sounding way too harsh, because I like Broderick Jones or what he could become, but it's almost like the Will Levis thing, where it's like there is some innate just sort of feel that you have to have when it comes to using your hands and being able to adjust your body once the play begins on contact, when you're playing on the offensive line and on the edge, because so much happens so fast, even if you are on the edge, even though it does happen quicker on the interior, that you have to have some sort of natural feel for just how to maneuver and fight within those 3 seconds from when the quarterback throws a pass, or down blocking in the run game or what have you. And he just hasn't shown that. However, the Dallas Cowboys are next up on the schedule, and they will likely be without Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, and people forget Sam Williams, who was going to be their sort of third edge rusher there in that rotation. So he's facing a team without its top three edge rushers there. And then on the interior, Mozzie Smith has been kind of inconsistent, coming off a good game. But the strength of that defensive line was supposed to be on the edges, and they've lost the entire top of that rotation there. So they're dealing with rookie Marshawn Nealand, and then a bunch of just depth players that really should never see the field on a team that talented. So it's a good matchup for him to get right at home at night. You want to see him put it together. This is a good spot to do it. If he lines up a lot against someone like Nealon and then gets whooped, then you can really be concerned.
Awesome. All right, let's go to center, where the season leader is none other than Creed Humphrey with a 93.1. The top performer of the week is Connor McGovern with a 77 for the Bills. Promising performance, though. Juice Scruggs with a 69. 69 doesn't blow you away, but just remember, nice. He went against the Jags with Eric Armstead. They have other guys there, right? Trayvon Walker plays, all over the place. They have Roy Robertson-Harris, Mason Smith. Like, that is a talented group of defensive interior players. It's also the second week in a row where we got that high 60 grading the week before against Minnesota. I like that for Juice Scruggs. I think it's promising for sure. The most concerning for me is still Lloyd Cushenberry with another week in the 50s. He hasn't graded above a 60 yet, 51.4 for the Titans. Which guy do you want to highlight?
I think it's interesting. They tried to not let Connor McGovern back in the game. He was playing so well, I guess, that that multiple times they took him out of the game and said he had to go to concussion protocol, and he seemed to keep passing. But this is a great segment. Connor McGovern and Juice Scruggs, just goes to show you we're just built differently out there in central Pennsylvania. So, yeah, we highlighted these guys before, I think, all around, really. I think the Bills as a whole are just, even if it doesn't kind of show oftentimes in the final score, there's units there that are just very well run. And I think you see that with Connor McGovern sort of improving. And now that he's left Dallas and kind of has kind of found his role and his footing there in Buffalo, Juice Scruggs, we talked about it, and really that whole Texans offensive line, especially on the interior, just stay healthy because they're all talented and young, but they all had to just get healthy, whether that was Kenyon Green, whether that was Juice Scruggs, again, just kind of getting further and further away from that accident in college. I honestly, not too many surprises. This is a very all 22 list here. Like, oh yeah, Creed Humphrey is the best. Of course. There's not much to talk about here. I think it's, you know, what you see is what you get.
There are some positions you just see the same names every week. It's Creed Humphrey at center. It's Fred Warner at linebacker. Let's go to the defensive interior, though, where the season leader now is Cam Hayward, coming back and coming back strong with a 90.2 grade. But my top performer is Tavondre Sweat for the week, 91.1. Can we just appreciate that for a second? And also, I want to just point this out, Ray. What was the biggest concern about Tavondre Sweat?
It was off-field stuff and conditioning.
Yeah, and conditioning, right? 362 pounds is what we have him in our All-22 platform at. He played 49 snaps after playing 51 last week, both games with positive grading, and this week, again, being the top defensive interior. Another promising guy is Braden Fisk, 90.2. So another great week for Braden Fisk. He is highlighting why the Rams thought of him as a first-round pick, and I think they traded 2 second-round picks to go get him. Most concerning, I'll take an L on this one, Brian Brisset at this point, 46.7. It's been rough for him for sure there in New Orleans, especially with how well New Orleans has been playing.
Yeah, it's some guys are just not the same after a knee injury. Try to project it when you watch them in college to see how they were beforehand and think they can get back to that. Brisset just hasn't done that. And yeah, everything else in New Orleans has seemingly gone right for these guys, even though they're no longer undefeated. But again, they seem to all be playing pretty well. And so, you know, at some point you're not going to hit on everything. And so I think it's just one of those deals where I'm not sure Brian Brisset gets back to pre-injury form as a pure athlete like he was in his early days at Clemson. And you know what made him the top overall defensive player in his recruiting class and such is just you don't see that player anymore. You don't see that athlete. And I think it's just a case of he'll have a role in the NFL for a few years, but as far as being an impact player in an all-22 type of format, I just don't see that happening. Tavondre Sweat played the Dolphins. I mean, what are we doing here?
Don't take it away. Dude, he's a rookie. Highest graded defensive interior. All right, let's go to the edge where Aiden Hutchinson is the season leader still with a 93.8. He's been absolutely lights out. We posted that highlight of him basically shoving the tackle into the quarterback. Super cool. Nick Bosa is the top performer of the week with a 92.1. I'm going to keep it in central PA with Odafe Owe with an 85.4 for the most promising. He was a guy we highlighted a lot in the offseason. And three of his four games so far on the season have been 80-plus graded games. And those are against the Chiefs and the Bills and the Raiders. Two of the three are very good football teams, and the other one has good tackles. His only bad game was against the Cowboys. But at this point, again, like we talked about it for Greg Rousseau, but I think Odafe Owe is right there where we maybe need to say that he's a top edge rusher in the NFL at this point. Maybe he's top six.
Yeah, I think he's up there. I mean, he closed the 2023 season really strongly. And I think the narrative was, okay, can he keep that up? Was that just kind of like a 1 month thing? And no, he's completely kept it going. I mean, he had two subpar years, if you can call it that. It was more so average than subpar when he first came into the league. But you have to remember, this was a very raw player. He was all tools coming into the NFL. Big, fast, had literally zero sacks his final season in college before getting drafted, and was still drafted in the first round. And it's not that he wasn't getting pressure. He was getting a ton of pressures in college, but just wasn't able to finish. So you had a raw player coming into the league into a good organization. And this is exactly what it looks like when something like that happens. You have a talent that needs to be developed, needs to cook in the oven. He spends a year or two making some contributions here or there. By year three, he starts to take off. He closes strong. Year four comes around. He's the guy. And he is for sure one of the dudes now at the defensive end position or the edge rusher position in the NFL. And at his age, just 25 years old, I mean, he's got to be one of the top six or so edge rushers on the platform, period. And, you know, top six most valuable edge player. So if you have him, that's a gem. He's an every week starter nowadays, and you got him for a few years. So kudos to you if you were able to hold on to Owe during those, you know, couple formative years there while he was just developing in the meantime and waiting for his breakout. But yeah, absolute stud.
Yeah, and just for context, Aiden Hutchinson, Nick Bosa, Myles Garrett, and TJ Watt are the only edge rushers with more points scored in all 22 than Odafe Owe. He's there at five. Okay, let's go. Oh, excuse me. Most concerning, Trayvon Walker, 55.4. I don't want to like talk about him too
you
much.
Just,
I
feel, you just I feel wanted bad to say that point. Anyway. You just wanted to say concerning Trayvon Walker. Again.
I feel like I have to. You know what I mean? I feel like I have to. I owe it to the people okay. to complete the list. Linebacker on the season, we have Fred Warner again, 95.9, and he had a 96.5 grade this week. Absolutely absurd. I don't know if you noticed, but I believe that is the top graded player in the All-22 platform at this point. So shout out to Fred Warner and all that he's doing. I think it says something as well about the linebacker position in general. We've talked about how, similar to tight end, this is a position that takes time to really get comfortable and understand the game. I think we're like, while I was pretty critical of Fred Warner not being the best player in the NFL at his position in years past, I think the age and maturity is showing he is the best linebacker in the NFL right now. Promising performance. I'm going to stick with DeMarvion Overshown with his 77.2 for the Cowboys. He had a great game. Tremon Edwards is the most concerning to me with a 29.8 grade. I feel like now it's getting to this thing where if you want to find the most underperforming linebacker in the NFL, just go look at the Bears and see which one had the worst game. It's kind of what it's come to.
Yeah, it's linebacker. So yeah, it's whatever. It's trying to really pick out what's going to happen next and identify these trends is so hard at linebacker. You find the studs and you ride them as long as you can. I mean, we talked about it a little bit on was it Friday of last week? When you watch that Thursday night game, there were plays designed for Malik Nabers that will work against 30 other teams in the NFL as far as getting him kind of like that speed out into the flat and then letting him get some yards after catch after running off the corner. And DeMarvion Overshown is probably one of maybe two or three linebackers in the league who are quick enough and athletic enough to chase that down and prevent it from happening. Happened multiple times. At least three times they tried to make that happen, and DeMarvion Overshown was there. So just when you find a linebacker, I think the key with the linebacker position is when you find one, you have to hold on to him because you're going to see spikes and hot streaks from these players for a couple weeks or so at a time, and they kind of go back down to earth. And when you find one that's consistently very good and kind of has that elite trait that they can lean on each and every week, that's invaluable given the scarcity of consistent talent at this position. So I think DeMarvion Overshown, only what, four games into his career, considering he had the knee injury last year, I think he's just about there. And outside of that, I think you lost one. Shaq Thompson, I believe, has gone down with a bad injury. Carolina might miss the rest of the season. So just another note, an injury note there at linebacker. That's a big one. I imagine he's a starter on someone's All-22 team or most people's All-22 teams there. That's going to be a big, big void to fill because, again, not a very deep position. He was playing pretty well, played well again before his injury this past week. So, yeah, tough one.
Some really interesting things at cornerback. The season leader right now in PFF defensive grade is Zion McCollum, who we touched on last week because he had a great game. He now has three games in a row in the green or blue. This week with a 74.6 grade against the Eagles. Last week a 90.8 against the Broncos. The week before 78.6 against Detroit. I watched some of his film over the weekend because I wanted to familiarize myself with this guy and his game. Ray, I know last week you said, you know, you're not touching him. I think it's time. I think it's time for people to start picking this guy up and making some moves for him.
No, it's not, guys. It's really not. It's really not. This is cornerback. It's a cautionary tale. Don't do it. It's not going to end well. Just don't do it. Yeah, but when you start your career 46-52, and then you have four really good games, yeah, sure. It could be the start of something special. You could have just turned the corner, or you could have, you know, played the Denver Broncos and the Philadelphia Eagles without Devontae Smith or AJ Brown this past week at home. So could be that too.
I just wanted to check to make sure this kid didn't go to Ohio State the way you like absolutely
hate on him. He's no.
The top performer for the week was Garrett Williams with a 90.6. And I remember scouting this kid and really liking him. Kid out of Syracuse. He got injured last year, missed, I believe, the whole year, came back this year and threw a few games. He's looking good. He's looking really good. So I'm excited for Garrett Williams. But the most promising to me is Nate Wiggins, 86.4. There's now been multiple weeks where Nate Wiggins is a legit starter on an all 22 roster. And I think people need to start buying his shares too.
Almost had a pick, if I recall correctly, too. But he's making some plays on the ball. Yeah, he's a rookie, so be ready to deal with growing pains if you want to make him a starter now because of his encouraging performance. I think it's great. I think it's extremely encouraging. I'm still not sure I elevate him beyond a CB3 on my depth chart for a given week just because since he is a rookie and he can have a down week, you don't want that to really bury you. Because it's going to happen regardless. He's a rookie, no matter how talented he is. You don't want that to bury you. So maybe if you kind of keep him as a flex there, and if he has one of those really big games, graded over 80 this past week, you get a nice boost from your cornerback three spot on defense, but not weighted so heavily as a cornerback one or two that if he does have a down week, it could cost you the game. So my advice there would be, yes, CB3, Nate Wiggins all day.
I actually really like that approach, and it's one I take, right? T'Vondre Sweat has been my defensive interior three. I have some young corners playing cornerback three. I like that approach. Don't shove them in there and put them in there. If they have a good game and you're getting that, 1.6% in the flex, that's great. Don't do it to one of your starters yet because there are going to be some bad weeks. Tre'Davious White, speaking of bad weeks, most concerning to me on the Rams. I love what the Rams did, right? Take a shot. They had a huge weakness at corner. There's a guy with experience out there and has been experiencing injuries. But this year, right, he has a minimum of 60 snaps played in every single game. He just can't put together the performances. He's 29 years old. I think, for some corners, that's as old as it gets. We're not talking about Jalen Ramsey here. We're talking about Tre'Davious White, who has been an all-22 great in his own right, but I think at this point, it's probably time to tap out and say, we're done with Tre'Davious White.
Yeah, he's got a major knee injury in his history, too. The downswing, you don't stop that ball once it's rolling down the hill. That's it. He had a good run. But the days of an elite or even just great or very good player are behind him. Going to be 30 years old. I'm out on Tre'Davious White. I have been. I sold a few shares a while back, and it's just, yeah, he's done.
We're flying.
That was harsh.
Man.
Wow, he's done. That was harsh.
It was because he's younger than us too, like significantly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm done.
I don't feel done. You know what I mean? I don't feel done. I went for one today. Ran like a 10-minute mile. It was great.
I took the day off actually. I was supposed to, but yeah, took it off.
That's not how winners are made, Ray.
I know.
Brandon Jones on the Broncos is having himself a breakout year. He is the season leader at the safety position with a 90 grade. That is after four green grades in a row, and actually one of them is a blue, 92.8 versus the Bucks in week three, 74.8 in week four against the Jets. He's looking promising. Xavier McKinney, 91.2 grade for the Packers, top performer of the week with a big interception at the end zone. He has four interceptions in 4 weeks. That is the story on Xavier McKinney, but he is now the leader of that defense, and I think that's the more important thing to call out there. Promising performance to me is Kirby Joseph on the Lions, and it's one I've been waiting for because I liked him as a prospect, and he started so slow. There were so many concerns with the Lions safety group. Kirby Joseph this year seems to be finally putting it together a little bit. Each week has gotten better, 79.2 grade for him. Most concerning, sorry, Central PA, Jaquan Brisker, I'm going to say it again, 62.3. It just doesn't seem to be clicking for him this year.
62.3 is not that bad, okay? It's not that bad. But I will take this time again to say you're welcome to the listeners and the users who have Kirby Joseph, because I dropped him before the season started. And we see how that plays out. I did it with Jalen Johnson. It seems to be happening again with Kirby Joseph. It's just one of those deals where, Chris, my roster is so good. I know nobody cares, but my roster is so good that I had to drop someone, and I dropped Kirby Joseph on cut day. And now look, he's really turned it around. So good for him. We've always liked him as a player, kind of got that prototype size. And we did talk about how that Detroit defense was not turning it around, because they've been improving for a bit now, but really starting to, I guess, turn the corner and not just be such an offensive reliant team when it comes to winning games. And even with their cornerbacks still kind of struggling and, you know, being flagged a lot and all that good stuff, I mean, as a whole, that unit is playing much better, and guys like Kirby Joseph are definitely the beneficiary of that on the back end. And yeah, it's just something that's all come together for them, and he's doing a great job. He's now hitting that stride that we knew he could when he was coming into the league back in 2022. So good player, prototype size, no reason to really knock him. No concerns that you see from just a high level overview when you're trying to make your lineup for the week. I think he's an every week starter right now.
Love it. Anybody Except else you want to shout out? Buy. Anyone else you want to shout out before we wrap it up?
You know, Emmanuel Ogba was on his way to having a big game last night. And I think he was just, well, not I think, he definitely was the victim of game script once it was just apparent that Miami couldn't really move the ball at all and that defense was going to be on the field for a while trying to stop the run over and over and over again. And so Ogba was someone that we had, or at least I had, noting the losses that Miami had as someone who could step up into a bigger role. And while it wasn't a long-term thing because he's already 30 years old, you thought he could potentially have some sort of impact for you for just 2024. And he showed that early on in the game. But as the game wore on, that defense wore down, they were left out to dry from their offense. Game script got away from them, and he started out great. Ended okay, had an okay grade for the entirety of the game, but it should have been and could have been so much more if there was some complimentary football being played there. So it's not just related to Ogba. He just is highlighted in particular because he had a great start, plus the interception early on. But this goes for just pretty much all of the Miami Dolphins currently, unless and until Tua comes back and they have some semblance of an offense to also lean on. These guys on defense that you do like and you do trust their talent, it's going to be a slog because there's just too much on their plate right now. They're going to get worn down, and game script is never going to be in their favor. So it's a rough one for the Miami defenders. And just, I think Emmanuel Ogba is just the epitome of that, because he was on his way to a nice blue game last night and ended up not being the case.
The only one that you can truly trust is Calais Campbell, who is the ageless wonder, 67.6 grade last week, 91.6 the week before. He's 38 years old. He does not know how to age. I pray that I move like him or close to him at 38 years old, and I'm probably 140 pounds less than him.
Yeah, and maybe it's all this. He spent he didn't spend his entire career down south. Maybe it's like the Miami sun or something, because sunlight's like the best thing for you, right?
Yeah,
maybe it's one of those deals up here in the Northeast. We just age quicker. We should start paying close attention to that.
We should. Yeah. But everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't yet, please give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Twitter at @all22_PFF. And give us a review wherever you watch or listen to your podcasts. And have a great day. I'm a go.